Blog Talk Radio.
Sarah figured out that by switching to Metro PCS, she gets two free smartphones.
Your barbecue ribs are the best.
Take the rest home with you, Sarah.
Just like she figured out that by visiting her in-laws, she doesn't have to cook for the rest of the week. You too figure it out. Get two free 4G LTE smartphones from top brands like Samsung and LG after instant rebate when you switch. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figure it out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included. See store or metropcs.com for details and terms and conditions.
Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I go right when the right way was left. Cause the scribbles look so sad. And he says you can win them all if you try.
Elijah Muhammad, and we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I tell you all, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You're now tuned into the voice of the voiceless. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our subject today is called The Omen. The system is breaking bad and headed for war. Brothers and sisters, as we get into this subject, I want to tell you, I know for a few days we've had a few reprieves, but there was an urgency to take care of family matters behind closed doors, so we had to do it like that, okay? We hope that you understand. If not, you'll get over it. And so all praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We're alive and in living color today, so we give praise to Allah and the person of Master Farad Muhammad for giving us another day, giving us our sanity, giving us all of the basic necessities of life, and making us recognize and realize the time that we are living in and what is coming and what is also underway. Because the world that you have known, soon you will know it no more. We're looking at all of the ingredients, all of the puzzle pieces, all of the chess pieces being put into play now for a great conflagration. You see what's going on in the Middle East? We talk about all of this. This all has to do with the economic situation. This all has a direct bearing on the liberation, redemption, and upliftment of the American so-called Negro. For without these things abroad pushing in on America, her grip on you will not be broken, will not be loosened, and will not be weakened, and you will not be able to go for self or to separate, as the scriptures say. Some of you think you have this rudimentary or elementary idea of these things. You don't understand that there must be pressure brought to bear to bring about the things that the prophets had predicted to come. There must be things behind the scenes that pushes the so-called American Negro towards a unification. There must be things behind the scenes that forces the Negro to leave the house of his former oppressor and look in the house of his father and look at the promises of his father and push him towards his father's promise to do for self and to prosper, walking the path that his father laid out. We look at things and we look at them in an elementary way, thinking that, oh, out of the blue. See, some of us, we talk, we're not spooked, but your elementary thinking is a spooky way of thinking. You don't just, America doesn't just fall. You know, Elijah Muhammad didn't just write a book, Fall of America, and America just falls. In there, he talks about geopolitics. He talks about the political scene. In there, he talks about the economic and the currency markets. He talks about the gold and the silver markets. He brought these things up in the 70s to acquaint you with what to look for as we look at today, the last days of that, what we call grace period. He talked about the uniting of the nations and the nations taking sides. He talked about America and her desperate act would provoke the nations to war. But he also gave us an understanding of what all this was about. As a matter of fact, where's my Fall of America? Right here, Fall of America. We'll go to chapter 2, Fall of America, page 18. And you'll see all of this, what you see going on in the Middle East. All of this, what you see going on in Brazil and in South and Central America. All of this, what you see happening all across the great continent of Asia. And I'm including Africa, because really Africa is not the name of the continent. We just refer to that so that you can have an understanding of which body of land that we're talking about. Also, listen to this good. Let's go to page 18, I believe it is. Page 18. Follow along with me, brothers and sisters. The chapter is titled Dawn of a New Day. And in this chapter, Muhammad writes about America in her last days. Now, if America's last days is the dawn of a new day, what he's showing you that there's a change taking place. One ruler is being exchanged for another ruler. And he goes into depth on what, who this ruler is that is coming to be. But even though it's a new ruler, it's an ancient ruler that is now coming up. But there must be events that take place for this to take, for this to happen. There must be global events that take place geopolitically to force the so-called American Negro to stop being in love with his master, to force the so-called Negro to take a second look at the promise of the prophets by God through his prophets. There must be some events that take place, cascading events that would touch the very core and marrow of your bones to force you to unite in this chapter here. This came to me while I'm talking to you. So we'll go to chapter 2, the dawn. It's called Dawn of a New Day. All right. But first, let's get us a clear understanding of what the word dawn means. Let's go to the dictionary. And we know that according to the scriptures, the dawn means the early morning. The dawn also corresponds to Farad. This is the early morning of the new God's arrival, right? And we know that the old world does not go over to the seventh. So we're in the dawning of a new world, a new order, a new power, a new system, a new people who will rule, unlike the people who are being pushed out of rulership. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word dawn means to begin to become light as the sun rises, to start or begin, to begin to understand or to be understood, right? So what we're looking for now is for you to understand or be one who understood that this is no longer the day of Adam or Yaqub or America or Europe or the European Union or NATO, none of that. These are the days of Allah. And once you begin to understand that, you'll know that we're in a new day, in a new time. And this time will be like nothing that you've ever witnessed before. Nor I have heard, seen, nor have heard, nor have entered into the heart of man what God has in store for you. In this chapter, chapter 2, Muhammad writes, America's burden in trying to protect herself from the attacking nations of the world is tremendous. One that she will not be able to carry. Stop right there. But what about the going on my block? Oh, I'm going to talk about what the white man doing down at the police office. I'm going to talk about what he's doing in the mayor's office. Unless you understand these things, you'll never understand what's going there. Because Muhammad says these outside powers are pushing inside to force a change. And he says, if I were you, I would get me a God. Right? So we have a God in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. Muhammad says this. Listen closely to the wording of this. What I'm trying to do, brothers and sisters, I'm trying to make you think. And I always say this. If I'm teaching anything outside the realm of what Elijah Muhammad, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, has taught us and is teaching us, then I'm inviting any and all people to show and prove. Isn't that what scientists do? Isn't that what the God circle does? Right? So, Muhammad says, America's burden in trying to protect herself from the attacking nations of the world is tremendous. One that she will not be able to carry. What is going on? They're attacking her politically. They're attacking her culturally. They're attacking her through her manufacturing, through her trade, through her currency, through her gold reserves, through her silver reserves. They're attacking her on every level, Muhammad says. And he says her she would not be able to carry. But we see her, I'm going to be in the South Tennessee forever. We're going to double down on Africa. We're going to double down in the Middle East. We're going to double down in Asia. We're going to set up military bases in Argentina to keep South America in their place. This is what you hear from the elite of America. They have to put this aura or air out there of America's future looking so bright that there's no conceivable possibility that she is falling or will fall. Listen to what Muhammad says. Therefore, she must succumb to the powerful forces that are coming against her. The fall of a nation makes way for another. As the earth continues, all nations and their civilizations are limited upon it, except the original nation, which takes on renewals and changes. Okay, so now we're in the midst of change. We're in the midst of a renewal period for the black nation. Therefore, the previous government, the previous global structure or order or financial order, the previous people who have ruled the world for the past 6 days or 6,000 years, their order is going into the abyss of time because they don't take on anything new. They don't take on a renewal. The only people that are capable of renewing or reinventing themselves is the aboriginal people, according to Elijah Muhammad and according to history and according to science. Right? We get an understanding of that. Then he goes and says this. See, we're going to see how all of this plays out with the unification of the black man. We're going to see how all of this plays out with the geopolitical events. The stuff is here. You just got to read it. He says, though in appearance, right, America seems steadfast, she is moving towards an ultimate end. Appearance. Let us go to Webster's Dictionary about appearance, okay? Let's get an understanding. We have to do this, brother, so that have time with your brother. Give me just a little time with you because I have to explain this like this. I have to go in the definition, as Muhammad says, and I'll tell you how to arrive when a brother said, Muhammad, you go into so much definition. Why do you go into so much definition? Muhammad says, he responds, because without definition, you wouldn't understand. So we want to give you a clear understanding, as Muhammad teaches us, because we all don't understand. So the word appearance, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, means the way that someone or something looks. That don't mean it's necessarily like that. A way of looking that is not true or real. The act of appearing. The fact that something or someone arrives or begins to be seen. So we look at that definition, that second one. A way of looking that is not true or real. Now let us go back to what Elijah Muhammad teaches us. Though in appearance, what does the word appearance mean? A way of looking that is not real. Right? Not true or real, right? Though in appearance, America seems steadfast. She is moving toward an ultimate end. But I thought America was setting up military bases in her pivot to Asia. I thought America was setting up AFRICOM. I thought America was putting bases in Europe and all in South and Central America and in the Middle East. These are illusions to project power so that people wouldn't dare challenge someone they think that is still at the height of their power. But she's hollow to the core, economically, militarily, and politically. All right? We're reading Elijah Muhammad's teaching. All right? Listen closely. He says, now, why he's talking about these nations coming against America, and why he's talking about the situation of deceit that America puts on for the whole world to see, and why he talks about the renewal of the black nation, he goes and says this, right after this. One great problem to be solved in the fall of America. Stop right. So it's a problem that has to be solved. There are several problems, well, but one in particular that must be solved during this process or of the fall of America. be solved in the fall of America is the liberation of the so-called American Negroes, the lost and found people of the Aboriginal Black Nation of the Earth. They have been here for four centuries, mistreated and brought into a state of corruption and shame. They are now being helped, although they are as blind mentally as someone is physically. Stop right there. There we go. So, when you look at the positioning of China in the gold markets, when you're looking at Russia opening up her own oil bourse that trades in yuan and rubles, when you look at Russia's appetite, India's appetite, China's appetite, Brazil and South Africa's appetite for gold and silver, which will balance out any default of the American financial order, then you'll see something. But you who don't understand this, you are as blind spiritually as someone is physically, he's telling you, because you can't comprehend. You're looking at it. You see it with your eyes. But your mind is not comprehending because you're not aware of the time. The omen. The system is breaking bad and headed for war. Let us go a little further. Muhammad says, in all the preparation of the divine supreme being and the nation of righteousness to remove the enemy of God and the righteous from the earth, the poor so-called American Negro cannot see it. And this is why people can't comprehend what we're talking about. They don't recognize the time. They don't calculate from one motion to the next motion. They look at prophecy as something that stands still. So they don't comprehend that it moves from one place to the next place, or else there would not be nothing called the fulfillment of prophecy. For something to be fulfilled, steps must be taken. And then you reach a climactic point. That's motion. That's time. That's the teaching of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. So Muhammad says that you're blind as someone is physically. Then he says, with all this preparation, see, you don't see that God is raising up when Muhammad talked about China being raised up to chase down this white man. You thought he was actually talking about getting on the track and running behind him. You didn't realize that he was talking about chasing them down in his own financial markets, chasing them down in places where he's always enjoyed power projection and influence. You didn't understand when God said that he would raise up Russia as a counterweight to America. That this would mean hooking America in and forcing the two to collide. You didn't understand that. But it's here. You were as blind spiritually as someone is physically. And you did not understand all of these preparations that were underway. You often hear about the white man when he talks about his money market. He goes back to 50-something. He goes back to 65 and 66. He goes back to from 71 to 73. He goes back to 80-something. He goes back to 2000. And then he goes up to 2008. These are specific, very key, and important dates for him. And they are also prophetic times that things had to happen in to force America to loosen her grip, to force America to see that God is after her, to harden America's heart, like God did with Pharaoh. God said, Moses, go down and tell Pharaoh X, Y, and Z. He's not going to listen to you, but you go do it anyhow. And I know this is going to harden his heart, and when it hardens his heart, it's going to give me the justification to beat the hell out of him with the chastisement. Because I want to give him some of the hell that he put on your back. And I want you to be in the midst of it so that you can witness it, and then they won't be able to say that had you been out of this in the same position as them, you would have fallen victim too. This is a time of great tribulation. The desolations are being poured upon America. The desolations are being poured upon the white world. And they're scared and mad as hell. And no one is as happy as I am to see this devil shaking his boots. I am so happy, and I thank Allah. I would give my all to see this devil go. operations of the divine supreme being and the nation of righteousness to remove the enemy of God and the righteous from the earth, the poor so-called American Negro. Can I see it? Then we'll skip down a little bit to something that I'm trying to get to. He goes and says, you, the so-called Negro, are too spiritually and mentally blind to see. Your heart is too hard against receiving the truth, and your ears are too thoroughly closed to the truth that God has said that the white race is a race of devils, created to be destroyed. This truth is verified in the Bible and the Holy Quran. Hundreds and thousands of preachers tremble at the thought of even accepting the truth and wish to take their followers into the fall of America. What is he talking about? Do you see all of them get their patriotic spirit on because they don't want to feel isolated or left out when America starts talking about Islam? And they go into this fever pitch about Jesus saved and this and that. And all of them, all of these black preachers have been treated like hell. Their congregation is barely making it. But they don't get, as long as they're accepted by America, and they're really not accepted, they're used as tools and pawns to keep you hooked in the madness that is America, that is her religion, that was offered to you through the barrel of a gun, a whip, and a chain. Muhammad goes further and says, this is the problem to be solved. So now we have a major problem to be solved. Because Muhammad doesn't want you to go down in the fall of America. Listen to this. If it is to be solved, then how shall it be solved? And what is the best method to use in the solution? Stop right there. This is something we got to examine right here. He asks the question. Then he goes in depth on the question. Then he asks about the best solution, not any solution, the best solution to getting you out of this hell that you're in now. Okay? Y'all bear with me. I miss y'all. And I love my people. So if your brother is on fire a little bit, put down the extinguishers. Let it burn a little bit, okay? Let's go a little further. He says, this is the problem to be solved. If it is to be solved, then how shall it be solved? You see how he just said something, made a statement and then asked the question? And then he goes and asks another question. And what is the best method to use in the solution? Then he goes and says, it must be a solution that touches not only the enemy, but those who cleave to him while defying the wrath of Almighty God Allah. Now listen to what he says here. Now he goes back to Scripture. And the promise of God. And all of this ties in to this atmosphere of war and economic collapse and the coming devastation of the bond markets, the money markets, the precious metal markets, all of these things, and when they melt down, you're going to realize the time. Muhammad says, it is incumbent, says the Holy Quran, that Allah gives life to the dead. See, we see all of these illusions of basketball and fighting and boxing and all of this. All of these things are illusions to keep your mind off the time. All of these things are illusions to trick you in a day that God has come to give you salvation and to prepare you and restore you for the world that he is now ushering in. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word incumbent means the holder of an office or one that occupies a particular position or place, or something that is promised or mandatory. Now listen to this. It is incumbent or it's mandatory because of the divine promise of Allah, says the Holy Quran, that Allah gives life to this mentally dead so-called Negro. Allah gives life to this mentally dead so-called Negro. I'm going to say that again. It is incumbent. It's binding on Allah to do this. He says, it is also made incumbent in the Bible where Ezekiel declares in his vision that all of the dry bones were resurrected. The resurrection of the dry bones. According to God, remember what Muhammad says at first. He says, this is the problem to be solved. And if it is to be solved, then how shall it be solved? And what is the best method to use in the solution? So some of us, we think we have the solution. Some of us, we're so enamored with brotherhood and sisterhood that we're not realizing that you cannot unite with people who are not of like mind. The messenger says, love is based upon agreement. And when you are in agreement with people, you are in love and you're making love. But be sure not to unite with your enemies or the hypocrites. Because let me tell you, you'll have a false friendship. You'll have false love. Okay? What has this got to do with what you're talking about? Now listen closely. Muhammad says this. It is also made incumbent in the Bible where Ezekiel declares in his vision that all of the dry bones were resurrected. So that means all of them would stand up. But Muhammad is asking the question, how and why? Muhammad gives you the answer here. He says, this does not refer so much to the word. See, we go around talking about the word. Yes, the word is enough to get some of us. But there are some of us who are so dead that it takes literally something more powerful than the word to shake your foundation and rattle your senses so that you may come to the knowledge of the time and what must be done. You understand? I hope you are paying attention to me, brothers and sisters. And again, like my leader, teacher, and guide, I always offer myself before you. And I say that if you can disprove what I'm saying, 347-989-0855. I'm right here. So, Muhammad goes and says, this does not refer so much to the word because the word has no effect on their resurrection. What? The word has no effect, but I thought, because we've reached a time now where the people have been tricked so thoroughly that it literally takes something more according to the prophets, according to the scriptures, and according to history. Well, what does it take to rattle them? What does it take to unite them? Because everybody is talking about unite. Muhammad said it thoroughly. Unite, but everyone who is speaking it, they don't understand the depth of what he's saying and what must take place for this unification. Because every time there's a unification, there's a great separation underway too. All right? So listen to what he says here. It literally took something more effective than the word. It literally, not figuratively. He's not talking about something that you just talk about, something that you just ponder over. He's talking about something that is tangible, actual. It literally took something more effective than the word. The winds that the prophets were to prophesy to represent wars. Now listen to this. Which will eventually bring harm and suffering to the rebellious rejecters of the truth. So, we recognize that these wars that are underway, this race war in America, this civil war in America, this economic war in and out of America, this financial war, cultural war, and a literally military war. Are they telling you when this white man talks about, we have currency wars, we have trade wars, right? Manufacturing wars. It's on every level. Mama says that this is what it took. That the dry bones united, right, and stood up. They were resurrected. The word resurrection means to rise up and be civil. Right now you're acting like a savage. With all of your so-called learned knowledge, you're acting like a savage, and you don't realize this. So we're going to get you, we're going to give you culture and refinement and spiritual edification, okay? And after Muhammad says that, he says, salvation must come to the so-called Negro. Everyone's eyes should be open. And then he ends, listen to this, after he talked about this, because you have to understand how he puts words and sentences and paragraphs there, and then how he transitions from one subject to another subject. You have to understand these things to understand what's going on. If you don't understand this, you are unaware of the time and what must take place. And this puts you at such a great disadvantage. So you have to listen. So Muhammad transitions as he talks about the prophetic sayings of the prophet and what it takes to raise the dead to life. He says, salvation must come to the so-called Negro. Everyone's eyes should be opened. The time of the ending of this world is now and not yet to come as you so foolishly think. Study your own Bible. It is there. Now he goes back and tells you to study your Bible. Why? Because there's so many hints and examples of what we should expect. He says, the end is predicted and hidden in many places. Now listen to this part right here. I've been telling you this on the show also. Daniel in the Bible, however, gives you a better knowledge of it than any other place. And the Quran's prophecy is exact. Now, this is chapter, I'm just reading part of it, chapter 2. And in this, Muhammad talks everything from spiritual edification to the things that must take place. I know in all of these trials and tribulations, we all want something. We all think that it is time that we must do. But you got to let God do what he said he was going to do. Else you get out of pocket and God has to do something to you because you made them move before time. You understand? I hope you're not mad at me. Listen to me good, brothers and sisters. Don't be mad at me. I know a lot of people get mad because I say these things. But I'm not saying them without proof. When I'm talking to you, I offer proof of what I'm saying. And other people just go by what they think or a couple quotes out of the context of which they're written. And I'm saying to you, listen closely. And put my words, the words that I'm reading to you, the words that you hear me play to you on a scale of facts, and weigh them and tell me whether or not this is what Elijah Muhammad teaches. And tell me whether or not this is what is now going on in the world. And if you have to bear witness that both are the truth, then you're not mad at me. You're mad at my leader, teacher, and guide, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And you're using me as a scapegoat. Because I'm coming and I'm telling you something that is contrary to what you thought, contrary to what you held, contrary to what you thought you knew. But don't get mad about it. Get up and accept it and let's go forward together. Because no matter what you do, what you think, and how you believe, prophecy must be fulfilled. Right? Now, the omen of the collapsing world, we'll see it as America tries to project power. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play a couple clips here to follow up on this situation in chapter 2 to show you that these nations, America is scared of these nations, and she's trying to project power outside of her borders and trying to pump these nations through the threat of war. But now these nations now have what she has, and she doesn't like that, and she's not able to dominate them as she once was. But this is all a part of breaking America's power. Because soon, brothers and sisters, you're going to see the outbreak of hostilities on major scales. And America is going to be drained even more economically and politically and especially militarily. And she will be in such a dire situation that it is going to be plain to see what Elijah Muhammad teaches us is the truth. Now, I want you to listen to this clip here about America. This is about 5 minutes or 6 minutes or whatever. And I want you to pay close attention. You'll see why America is doing what she's doing. Remember what Muhammad says in the first part of this chapter. America's burden in trying to protect herself from the attacking nations of the world is tremendous. One that she will not be able to carry. This is what he said. So America has put her position when she says, we're going to re-pivot to Asia. We're going to build up our weaponry on the outskirts of Syria. We're going to build up a Cold War stockpile of weapons on Russia's borders with bases and 10,000 troops, right? This is not happening out of the blue. This is happening because Elijah Muhammad told you it would happen. And so he said, though in appearance, America seems steadfast. You see her in her Abrams tanks. You see her flying her F-16s and her spy planes close to the South China Sea, all close to Russia's border, her AWACS over Libya and over Syria and over North Africa. You see her with her troop positioning and pre-positioning with radars, weapons, warplanes, and warships. You see all of that. But you don't look into it, and you don't see that in appearance. America seems steadfast. But even though she seems steadfast, she's moving towards an ultimate end. And while these things going on, Muhammad says, one great problem to be solved in the fall of America is the liberation of the so-called American Negro. So if we're going to be liberated, we have to understand the time. We have to understand what's going on. We have to understand the purpose and names of these things that are taking place in the money markets, these things that are taking place in the currency markets, in the bond markets. Because if we don't understand that, how the hell can you see your liberation? I hope you're listening. Don't get mad at you, brother. Listen to this right here, and you'll see that Elijah Muhammad is on time and in time. Matter of fact, he's ahead of time, and they're catching up with him. Time is catching up with his words and proving him to be right and exact. And look how America is still threatening and daring the nations, even though she's a hollowed-out former hegemonic power. Pay close attention.
There seems to be a lot of conflict in Washington and debate in Washington and amid military and policy circles about the quote-unquote increased assertiveness of the warplanes of the People's Republic of China and of the Russian Federation. Specifically, this has to do with the number of incidents in recent weeks, particularly the Chinese intercept of a U.S. spy plane over the South China Sea, as well as numerous incidents involving Russian jets intercepting U.S. naval assets near Russia's borders and actually in Russian airspace. And so the question really is, are the U.S. and its allies in NATO, are they really concerned about a quote-unquote increased assertiveness of Russia and China because they are being aggressive, or is it because the U.S. is now facing the potential of actual denial of its dominance over certain areas? I think that is really what is at issue here. Typically, the U.S. is comfortable and traditionally able to access any area of the world, any theater of conflict, any region, and to maintain aerial dominance over it, dominance with its Air Force, dominance with its Navy, dominance militarily in terms of its quote-unquote full spectrum dominance. But increasingly, that is not the case. Obviously, we have seen Russia with its advanced military capabilities denying the U.S. Free access, free roam in the Baltic, right near Russia's border, literally over Russia's territorial waters and near Russian territorial waters, particularly, of course, the Russian enclave at Kaliningrad is a major asset for Moscow. So needless to say, U.S. military officials are up in arms about this. And so there's really two questions here. On the one hand, what is the U.S. actually doing? And on the other hand, what is the response? What is the appropriate response? What is the necessary response? And how should we understand these things as far as the political agenda goes? I think the reality here is that the United States wants to maintain the status quo, a status quo that is increasingly slipping away. And so what it is doing seems to be provocative measures, provocative, not necessarily attacks, but almost like simulated attacks near Russia's border, near China's border, in the various regions, for the purposes of being able to simultaneously well, more or less understand how these countries will respond militarily, to get a sense for their responsiveness, military readiness, and to simultaneously drum up support at home for increased funding to the military-industrial complex. Nothing will guarantee billions and billions and billions of dollars being spent, new dollars being invested in more advanced jets and more advanced weapon systems and new missile defense systems and so forth for the purposes of, quote-unquote, taking on the threats of Russia and China. In many ways, Russia and China have become the bogeymen of the last few years, just as the Soviet Union was decades ago. That reason that justifies the continued bloated military spending, military budget, that justifies the aggressive, what I would call belligerent, warmongering posture that Washington takes in these regions. I think a rational and logical perspective on this would be that the United States really has no business sending its naval destroyers to the Baltic right up against Russia's border, just as Russia would have no business sending its destroyers into the Gulf of Mexico to U.S. territorial waters, that the U.S. has no real reason to be challenging China right along Chinese territorial waters in the South China Sea, that the U.S. has geopolitical considerations that drive its provocative actions there. This is the kind of policy that the U.S. has been pursuing now for quite some time that has many of us, including myself, worried about the potential for a catastrophic mistake being made that could lead to a major global conflict. We're not talking about the U.S. simply bullying smaller, weak nations that don't have air forces, nations that it can bomb at will, whether talking about Serbia whether in the late 90s or Iraq under the Bush administration and Clinton administrations, and Obama administration for that matter, or Libya or any of these other countries. We're talking about Russia and China, two world powers that can defend themselves, that have advanced military capabilities and are increasingly demonstrating their ability to challenge U.S. NATO military hegemony, particularly in their own spheres of influence. This is the danger of the moment, and that's why when Don Kerry says that Russia was reckless, quote-unquote, in buzzing a U.S. naval vessel, I think that that argument has to be reversed. It has to be inverted. It is that the United States is reckless to send its naval assets right to Russia's border for the purposes of provocation. That is what the U.S. is doing. That is the danger. That's why global war is on the table, and that's what we all must guard against.
So we go back to the dawn of a new day, when the messenger said America's burden in trying to protect herself from the attacking nations of the world is tremendous, one that she will not be able to carry. Therefore, she must succumb to the powerful forces that are coming against her. And then he goes and says, the fall of one nation. See, he's already giving the fall into America, because he starts talking about the renewal of the black nation. You don't realize why America is doing what she's doing. If you look at it through just normal eyes, you say, why is America doing that to Russia? Russia has the capability to do X, Y, and Z. She's being driven to do this, you need to understand. She sees her power, her influence, her world, and her civilization going out the window, and she's mad as hell. And she's trying everything to preserve her rule. Isn't that what they do in boxing? Isn't that what they do in MMA? Isn't that what they do if you're on top for so long and you see up-and-comers or rising up the ranks? You try to deal them a loss. You try to use your whatever you built your persona on to try to punk them or scare them, because you want to hold on to that position, that title, just a little bit longer. This is what America's doing. She knows that if she stops fighting, the economy implodes. If she continues to fight, the economy implodes. But she believes that if she can feed the beast, which is the military-industrial complex, just a little bit longer, the empire can survive another day. So she's doing things that you would not think of to try to maintain her power. She knows that it's over. And then you see, you say, well, why is Russia, Russia had these people on defeated in Ukraine? Why didn't Russia go and just take Ukraine or just take all of the ports in Ukraine and let them have the part that was once a part of Poland or whatever? Why did the rebels get orders from Putin to stop when they were on their way to Kiev, or however you want to call it? You say, why didn't Russia warn America, don't bomb Syria, or that we'll take that as a declaration of war? Why did Russia stop in the midst of almost eradicating ISIS in Syria, come to the talking, the negotiating table with a treacherous America? You don't understand. All this is about you. Russia, sanely, should have kept on going. But as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, that Allah has all of their minds now. And so Russia knows that she can take on America. But she knows that if America falls, see, she's caught in a catch-22 too. Because when America falls, boom goes the dynamite of the entire Anglo or white world. America was the richest, the most influential, the most powerful of all of the nations. She has been the exemplary nation of white supremacy the world over since her inception. Once she falls, the pillar that holds up the house of white supremacy collapses and pancakes in on itself. And Russia, being a mostly white nation, knows that. And they're willing to accept a little dust in the face, a little spit in the face, to try to maintain the rule of white nation. But this only goes so far. And the humiliation and the constant provocations, especially before the cameras, will make people question Russia's manhood. And before long, you'll have them at each other's throats. Allah is doing it. He's the greatest strategizer in general ever. So, America's swinging wildly. She's trying to buy for time. She's trying to overthrow. Look what she did in Brazil. This is connected to you. Look what she did in Argentina. Argentina was the template for Brazil. After Cristina, I think Ferdinand, I believe that is her name, the former president of Argentina, picked her hand, chosen successor, and he won the election. Listen to me, this does not make the news. He won the election, but then they had forced a runoff thereafter because they said, well, we didn't believe that. So, and then America got in there with her NGOs and overturned the election results. And put into power their puppet stooge who has been a CIA operative for the longest. Why? Notice after he got in, America did what she would not do when Christina Kirchner was in office. She let them pay down the debt of the bond market that they were not permitted to pay in New York to keep Argentina's credit rating down to a dismal junk credit rating. Now it's lifting up. And America is secretly negotiating a military deal for bases in Argentina right now. And Argentina is an associate member of the BRICS. So after this happens, Obama goes to Argentina. Did you see that? To congratulate his puppet. And he always talks about the will of the people. Did he say anything about the coup that took place in Brazil? Huh? And they put in a person that has less than 2% of the backing of the people. Why? Because Brazil was rising to be a competitor of America. Brazil was turning against the dollar. Brazil was one of the main cogs in the BRICS organization. And if you can destabilize BRICS, America can have just a little bit more time for dollar hegemony, so she thinks. So she's hitting all of the BRICS nations. She tried to impeach Zuma of South Africa, and Zuma was so teed off about it because America's underhandedness that his party in Congress in South Africa stood up and said, we have proof, indisputable proof, that the impeachment of Zuma is an American concoction. This is what they said. You didn't see this in CNN. You can Google it. You didn't see see this on CNN and Fox News, right? Fox News, I should say. And then look, so the people in Argentina are rising up again. So you know what they do to stop Cristina Kirchner from running for re-election again? You know what they did? They just indicted her on corruption charges, which she had nothing to do with. What are they doing with Raul, I forget her name, who was impeached in Brazil? They've got on in corruption charges, right? Guess what's happening in South Africa? Zuma beat the impeachment in the no-confidence vote in the parliament of South Africa. A week later, they brought corruption charges against him. Do you see America's hand trying to undermine, because the BRICS are undermining the dollar's hegemony. And America knows that when the dollar goes, her power over you goes. And there will be hell and blood to pay. All of this is connected, black men and black women. You don't get this on all these other so-called alternative media. You don't get this nowhere else. You get the truth here. And you get it in a way where you can understand this stuff. Because they talk to you, but they talk over you, using words that they know you don't have time or will not even take the time to try to find out what they mean. So, we see this thing going on. Think about this. Brazil, Argentina. Don't forget about Venezuela. And don't forget about other little nations. But we go to Venezuela for a minute. They're in the economic meltdown. A lot of people are talking about the government of, I forget his name, Maduro. But they're not talking about America sanctioning the country, forcing the currency to collapse like they did in Zimbabwe, and putting a almost blanket sanction isolation around the nation where their currency is worthless, they can't trade out, so they have to sell off gold reserves. This is how America goes. She goes and steals your gold, right? She forces you to sell your gold reserves so she can pay her creditors. Did you know that America has troops in Venezuela right now? Covert troops there? It was reported. It was reported on my website. Did you know America sent warplanes and encroached upon Venezuela's airspace to intimidate the black president there? Did you know that? No, you don't know that because you didn't read the Hines 1555 blog and you went to Fox News. But all of this stuff, Muhammad said, is a part of the burden that America is trying to carry. But it's a tremendous burden that she will not be able to carry. She must succumb to the burden of these outlying pressures that are going to force her to pop and burst. You know, when you have a ball on your skin or swelling up, you know, you get bitten by something and it swells up and it comes to a head. It is the pressure on the outside pushing in that pops the boil, that pops the bump that you have as it comes to a head. The same thing is happening. The outside pressures are pushing in economically. So America is being forced. You remember, she said, well, our economy is doing good. And Trump says, nope, unemployment is really at 20%. I've been telling you that on the show for the last few years. Unemployment was at least 20-some percent. Now, if black unemployment stands at 2.5 to 3 times that, then what that tells you? So the outlying pressure of trying to keep your money market up, look at this, she has to take billions for her military to go out and do what she's doing. What's happening at home? She has trillions of dollars of unfixed infrastructure. They say over 60,000 U.S. bridges could collapse at any moment right now because they have not been kept up good, and they have not had the money to redo them. Over 60,000. They're talking, you see, every time you turn around, a water main has burst, right? Flooding communities, right? Dams are cracking. All of this stuff is a sign to outside pressure. The economic pressure is forcing America to take what little resources she has to try to put up this air of confidence to project power outwardly while she's imploding inwardly. And you see the secession movements. You see a growing divide in black and white. You see, growing homelessness and hunger and poverty and unemployment. America is so wicked. She has inventories of empty houses, millions of them. And instead of housing homeless people, she'll go bulldoze them. Isn't that something? But yet she's always talking about freedom and liberation and human rights. Isn't it a human right to have a dwelling to lodge in? Isn't it a human right to have water that you don't have to pay for? Or to be able to harness the sun's power for electricity? Isn't it a human right for that? Or to be able to eat so that you can endure another day? The omen. The system is breaking bad and headed for war. I want you to listen to what I've been talking to you about. All of this is connected to you, black man and black woman. We're going to go back and read some stuff. And we're going to, Bible and the books of the messenger, we're going to play another clip, especially about this BRICS thing that I was telling you about. And all the BRICS are under attack right now, under assault, because of the dollar. America wants to maintain dollar hegemony. But in the same chapter, Dawn of a New Day, at the end of this, Muhammad says, the so-called Negro must be stripped completely of the white man's way of life, his name, and Christianity. Stop right here. This is what the Bible talked about when it says, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. You've got to come out of being enamored with her sport. You've got to come out of being enamored with her sexual innuendo. You've got to come out of being enamored with all of the vices that she offers you freely if you would just buck up against God and say, well, I'm going to do how I feel. I'm going to shake my behind till the lights go out. This is what Muhammad is telling you. You've got to come out of her. Before ever there can be a physical separation, there must be a spiritual separation. You must qualify yourself for these things. Muhammad tells, matter of fact, on the last page of Our Savior Has Arrived, one of the last things that he says to you is that you've got to qualify. But we don't look at that because that's not justifying our meager thinking of what Messenger Muhammad's talking about, what he means. You know, and what kills me is, let me hark back to something on a previous live show. So a brother was arguing about separation. And I wasn't arguing with the brother. I was just telling the brother, listen, go listen to this right here. And he was talking about, once he heard, I knew he couldn't have listened to the whole tape, not that quick, of the show that we did. And he responded with a long quote from the messenger, and the brother didn't understand it. I'm in agreement with that. I'm in agreement with everything that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches. But what you're doing, you're setting up a straw man. And then you're tearing down the straw man argument. You say, well, Brother Muhammad didn't say sit around and do that. Rashid Muhammad didn't say it either. Well, we got to do something. Well, if that's what you feel, I say go do what you feel on this matter. We got to get our own community if we are able to do it. Well, let's get some businesses if you are able to do these things. But remember that great separation that is underway, that one is done by the Lord of the world. But you don't hear this because you don't want to hear this. You think you hear something that you don't hear. Rashid Muhammad never said sit on your hands. Rashid Muhammad never said sit on your butt. I'm just relaying to you the in-depth teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know. But you completely ignore all of that, and you set up straw men. And then you tear the straw man down in argument until somebody points it out. Well, you say the messenger didn't want us to do this. Well, Rashid didn't either, because I'm in agreement with what the messenger said. You understand? All praise to you too. I just couldn't let that. I had to just, no matter what, the brother listened, but he didn't listen. Because all throughout the show I was saying, if you can do X, Y, and Z, then do it. But we're going into a different period. So don't expect it to be like it was. Because we're going into something greater, something more advanced than that. Something better. We're in a progressive stage. So when I'm talking and I'm saying what I'm saying, because it's not what they want to hear, they ignore all of that. comprehend what you're talking about, no matter how much you talk to them, because they are set in their ways. They're like the Christian preacher. No matter what you show him in that book about Elijah Muhammad in the Bible, no matter what you show him about how his oppressors forced his religion down your throat, he may talk on that, and he'll go right back there and put the cross on his chest. Isn't that something? That's madness. That's insanity. To ignore wisdom for the sake of a lie. But here we go. Listen. The messenger says, the so-called Negro must be stripped completely. Completely. Not partially. That means the gutter talk, you got to come out of it. The threatening of each other, you got to come out of it. The looking at each other as though they niggas, that's the white man's perception of you. They're looking at each other. Now, there's some people who are niggas because they have not been inculcated with the ideas and words of God. But they can come out of that. But to look at, to just paint somebody that disagrees with you as a nigga, that's insanity. That shows that you have not completely embraced the teachings of God and have not come out of that thug or street life. You understand? So Muhammad says that you have to be stripped completely, right? Stripped completely. Now, let's go to the dictionary on this. The word strip means it's a verb, so it's action. You understand this? It's action. A verb is action, something in motion, right? And it says to remove your clothing. What clothing? The clothing, that heavy burden, that burlap sack of colonialism, of white supremacy, to take the clothes off, to remove your clothing in a sexually exciting way while someone is watching. So, you have to be stripped. It didn't say you were going to, it said you have to be stripped. And how is that going to take place? Through the chastisement. When you lose your job. When you stop putting faith in that gun, when you lose everything, when you can't turn to nobody but God and the person of Master Farad Muhammad, when everything leaves you on the left and on the right and behind you, and you got to walk that straight and narrow right before you, you're going to be stripped. You're going to come to him on your knees in humility. Every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess that he alone is God. This is the stripping away of the Anglo clothes that you are wearing, that Anglo burden. God comes to remove that. So he says, the world of scholars and scientists know that Christianity will not survive. They know Islam is the only religion that will survive the destruction of this wicked civilization. So, I advise you to stop paying attention to all of them demonizing Islam, making up all of these so-called, out of the blue, these leaders and the organizations, ISIS and ISIL and Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra and all of these things that you didn't hear 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and out of the blue, whenever it suits America, whenever it suits Britain, whenever it suits NATO, all of a sudden you got your Boko Haram so that you can justify your colonialism and your adventures of war to destroy and decimate and to steal and pillage. So, you're getting a deep understanding of the divine teachings of Almighty God Allah as revealed to us through his last message. Now I want to take your attention back to America's divisive acts and how she constantly is trying to use what Yaqub taught her, that age-old tactic of divide and conquer. Listen closely. I'm hoping Blog Talk will allow this to play. I guess not. Well, anyway, black man and black woman, this was about America. She's after India and starting trouble with China. Did you know that America has military bases in India? Did any of you know that? She she blackmailed, or I should say white male, India with technology and stroking India's ego against China. We'll give you this technology to rival China if you allow us to turn these, she had basin rights where she could refuel and she can stop over and use Indian bases. But she turned that into basin rights now. So she can use, I think it's about 4 or 6 bases in India. So she's in the heart of Asia now. Right? She's fighting like hell to try to maintain her rule. Isn't that something? But sooner or later, she'll be pushed out of there because Muhammad says that the odds of her standing are against her. She's going to come out and be thrown out of Asia, Muhammad said. And we know that America never goes a place and willfully and willingly leaves it. All we have to do is look at Japan, 60 plus years. Look at South Korea, 50 plus years there, right? Look at Ukraine. She accused Russia of going into Ukraine. Now she's based there. Look at what she's done. She's accused Russia of invading Georgia, and she's based there. She accused Russia of trying to take the Baltics, which were a part of the Soviet Union, and now she has bases there. She has bases in Somalia. She has bases in Libya. She has bases in all the places that she has accused everybody else of having it. She has them there. This is an omen. It's showing you just how desperate she is and showing you just how the system is breaking bad and headed for war. We're going to try to see if they'll allow us to play a couple clips. Maybe we made them mad or something. Well, the truth will do that to some people who don't like the truth. But we're going to try to play this clip here about what's going on in the Middle East, that Middle Eastern dance between Gog and Magog, Russia and America. And from there we'll position. We're not going to play the whole thing because that's about 8 minutes. And I know the time is limited because I want to get to some other clips. And we'll reboot this thing and try to go from there, okay? See if they'll allow this to play.
The U.S., as we all know, the U.S. has been out in Syria for, say, 5-plus years now, pushing, you know, the Free Syrian Army, saying that Assad must go. And then we see Russia step in and kind of mixed everything up here. And now Russia's going after the terrorists. The United States, we don't know exactly what they're going after. they say they're going after the Islamic State. And just the other day, Russia extended their hand and said, listen, why don't you join us in fighting the terrorists? And the U.S. rejected it.
Right.
Now, what is your take on what's really going on out in Syria?
Well, I think it's an absolutely masterful diplomatic move by Vladimir Putin and the Russians, and what they've done is absolutely brilliant. You know, for the longest time, since 2001 of September, and we all remember what happened on 9/11, the U.S. has been using that cover of, you know, terrorism, and using it as a pretext to invade, using it as a pretext for sanctions, using it as a pretext to do basically anything they wanted. It was their get out of jail free card. It was their license to kill. It was their license to do anything they wanted internationally as well as domestically. And so for the longest time, you know, the world's been, you know, watching the U.S. using this pretext to, you know, to invade, to topple regimes and to, you know, go about creating their, you know, their new world order, so to speak. And in pops Vladimir Putin. And he pops in and he says, okay, since you guys are all about fighting terrorism, well, how about you join us and fight these terrorists? And then all of a sudden the U.S. is like, no, they rejected the deal. And because now the cat's out of the bag. You know, it's been murmuring for a long time now, at least the last 3 years, that ISIS is, well, you might as well call them USIS, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? USIS, because they're a creation of intelligence agencies that are linked to the United States. They're funded by U.S. proxies. They are coddled. They are protected. They're oil. Like, I mean, for instance, for the longest time, these guys have been running, oil from northern Syria into the Turkish border in full protection, and they've been doing it for a while. They've been, you know, money. They were able to get a great deal of funds. They were able to get billions of dollars in assets. I mean, these guys were absolutely coddled. And they were a proxy group, as the world found out, that really was basically doing the U.S.'s bidding. Now here comes, and now the Russians have literally put egg on the face of the U.S. And with the U.S. not engaging ISIS and claiming, oh, yeah, we bombed ISIS targets, they haven't bombed nothing. All they've been doing is hitting Assad's assets. They've been hitting Assad's infrastructure, an actual infrastructure that belongs to the real people of Syria, and then saying, oh, yeah, we hit ISIS targets. So the U.S. is out of, it's out of options. It's being exposed for what it is. I think it was who was the journalist, man? I can't remember his name. Hirsch, I think it was.
Yeah, I think so.
Who broke the story of the funding that the U.S. government was doing to ISIS and the split between the Pentagon and the CIA. I mean, this whole entire thing has really come apart in the face of the United States. And you see how quickly Russia went in and established order, you know, to the point where the jihadis were, like, shaving off their beards, putting on burqas and running across the Turkish border, you know. Done it very quickly. We've seen how Palmyra, which went from a historical site, ISIS turned it into, USIS turned it into a place of execution. And then, you know, about a month ago, the Russian orchestra was playing in there. It was the most beautiful thing ever, you know. So these are huge tantamount events, and people are starting to wake up to the fact that, like what Pepe Escobar would say, the United States is the empire of chaos. And we're being exposed for that. So the strategy is this. The strategy originally going into Syria was get the pipelines, right? Run the pipeline deal and block out the Russians from having an energy monopoly within the region and within Europe specifically, okay? And the hot Mediterranean markets. So we've worked in close collusion with the Qataris, with the Saudis, to get this deal done. Well, we didn't expect that the Syrians would be so fierce in their opposition, and that and all bets were off as soon as the Russians stepped in. So then the Saudis launched their Yemeni offensive because, you know, let's be honest here, Yemen is floating on a great deal of oil as well as natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
The Saudis are running out of it. Okay, so the Saudis decided, hey, we're going to go in there and we're going to take over Yemen, and these charlatans, these funders and creators of terror, the House of Saud. They, using the terror pretext, because they learned it so well from the Americans, decided to go into Yemen to, quote-unquote, fight terrorists, right? And then there's a Yemeni civil war. Well, what happened is the Houthis kicked the crap out of the Saudis. The Yemenis sent them packing, thanks to Russian help. I mean, there was a Russian anti-tank caliber missiles that, you know, turned the table there. The Saudis were having massive losses left and right. And that's fell apart. So the U.S. has lost miserably. The Empire of Chaos, or as Pepe also likes to call it, is Exceptional Stan. And I love that word. So Exceptional Stan has lost terribly in the Middle East, just like they've lost terribly in the Ukraine. So now the only thing left is saber-rattling, okay, which is, oh, look, China's aggressive maneuvers in the South Pacific. Oh, my God. And all the Chinese are doing, Dave, is building bases, building infrastructure, you know, building in territorial waters that were theirs since 600 BC. Those are Chinese waters. Those are Chinese. China took over 8 islands, okay? I think it was either the Philippines or the Vietnamese who, I think they annexed like 1,000 islands or something. Nobody says nothing because that's okay because those are all, you know, U.S. vassals to the Empire of Chaos. But as soon as China goes out and takes 8 islands that are theirs to begin with, historically speaking, oh, my God, everybody gets their, you know, their underwear in a bunch, okay? and now it's a big issue. So now the saber rattle is going, oh, Russian aggression. We take a derelict warship. I mean, this is a, you know, 30, 40-year-old warship with old Aegis radar technology, and we float it into, I mean, we haven't learned the first lesson here with the USS Donald Duck when we sent it into the Black Sea and the Russians just turned it into a floating barge with an energy weapon. So now we take the same USS Donald Duck, his real name is, you know, Donald Cook, I like to call it the Donald Duck. We take the Donald Duck, we float it again, this time into the in the Baltic Sea, and the Russians start, you know, skimming it again with the Su-24. And they're all, look, Russian aggression. What the heck's our boat doing there in the first place? Oh, Chinese aggression. Oh, what the heck's our spy planes doing in that part of the world? So we're doing this provoking thing, trying to, again, create distractions. Look, here's the deal. Those real guys that are in positions of power in the military do not want a war. They don't want a war with the Russians and Chinese because we'll get our butts kicked. We'll have our rear ends handed to us on a silver platter, okay? So, but the neocons and these banksters and these cronies who are still thinking that this is the '80s, that, you know, Rocky IV is out, you know, it's the Cold War, you know, and we're going to go there and we're going to rattle some cages, we're going to take on the Russians and win. It's not going to happen. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new outcome. And so this is the thing that's left. You know, instead of getting involved in trade deals, instead of, you know, being productive in business, we're out there just causing trouble. We're like the stupid brat kid on the playground, you know, running around kicking sand in everybody's face. Well, we shouldn't be doing that because some of these kids are way bigger than us at this point. Okay, and you know, it's just not going to work out well.
And I have been telling you that exactly what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, that when this war takes place with China, China is going to expose America. China is going to dig deep into America's backside. And this is real. This is, but like they say out on the street, they're going to dig into them deeply. China is going to run roughshod over America. And the military elite know this. They know this. But they got to project their air of confidence. But why will China do this? Because Elijah Muhammad said that this will be a part of the breaking of America's stranglehold over the black man. If you go and listen to an interview, I believe it was by Herb Kupchi with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. When Muhammad was talking, I believe it was Herb Kupchi, if I'm not mistaken. He said, and listen to the extended interview, not the cut interview. When the messenger said something pertaining to that, I believe he said, Mr. Muhammad, you sound like Red China, that the yellow man and the black man will unite and take on the white man. He's, and I'm paraphrasing. This is what he says. Remember that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah of 1,400 years ago, may the peace and blessings of Allah forever be upon the great and noble prophet, had to have help in raising up that black stone and rebuilding the Kaaba, right? Raising up that stone to its proper place. But Muhammad teaches us that that stone was only an example of you and I. And so now Allah is using our brothers in the four corners of the earth to break the stranglehold that America has on power and on influence, and especially over your lives. This is how this stuff connects with you. And China is destroyed. China is not chasing down America just militarily. China really is chasing down America politically and economically. But China is very intelligent. They took to heart what Messenger Muhammad told them. And they know that if you're going to take on this beast economically, you got to be able to defend yourself militarily, because she's going to provoke you to war, because she wants to hold on to her power, her rule. So we see her dancing from Asia to Europe. Europe will be the last place where America makes any power projection. Europe will be the last place where America makes her global or international stand as a legitimate power. And when she does that, when her and Russia collide on the battlefield of Europe, it will be a killing zone. It will be reduced to a waste or desolate land, the entire continent of Europe. This thing is not going to spread, brothers and sisters. Listen. I know you get the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said Allah saved America for him. He's going to take America out. So this thermonuclear exchange is going to devastate Europe. The holy sciences of Islam is not going to permit this to spread. They had, long before America ever came to be, they had already worked out her destruction. And Russia is going to dig into America so deeply in Europe that it's going to escalate to a thermonuclear exchange, because America is trying to save face. And Europe, as she has done to other nations, going in and destroying and making the land desolate, will face the fruits of her own labor. This is something that they're positioning their military, their arsenals for in Europe. The final stand of the great superpower will be in Europe. And then she will be forced back to her own shores as a broken, dejected, and isolated former global hegemon that will be slapped around, kicked around, and spat upon by South and Central America. Then God is going to leave alone. Muhammad says, the judgment is why God wants and will destroy the white man of America. It is because of his injustice to his slave. Today, he still wants to fool his slave by offering his slave a job in high office, offering the slave his daughter, his womenfolk, to do as you please with them. I say, it is too late, brother, for you to accept it. I say, accept Islam. Accept Allah. This people is number one on Allah's list to be destroyed, and they know that, and it's subject to end this year. Now, what is he talking about? Now, he said that in 66. Let's go back to something. He said it's subject to end this year. Remember when Muhammad talked, he said years, a year could mean years or he could mean weeks in theology. But let us examine 66, okay? Because he goes after that. He says, by this time next year, you will be telling me that you most certainly spoke the truth on the day of the 27th of February of 1966. Before we go any further, we're going to address that. Because some people who read that don't understand that. From 65 to 66, America robbed what other coins that she had of their silver. Because she went into a unofficial default on her debt, an unofficial default. This led her to manipulate the money market, the gold and silver market, to try to sustain this thing. And she went back in the war to try to get this thing going. But in the late 60s, early 70s, the president of France, Charles de Gaulle, called America's bluff when Richard Nixon told him the dollar is as good as gold. And de Gaulle said, well, then give me gold. And America stopped. The entire world pulled him off of the gold and silver standard. There was another economic default, unofficially. So when Muhammad is telling you these things,